Psalm 51. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Now remember, we said last time that in his prayer of confession in Psalm 51, David expressed three major requests. He was pleading with God, saying, cleanse me, in verses 1 to 7. And then we see he is crying out, restore me, verses 8 to 12. And then he says, use me, in verses 13 to 19. Now we looked at the first 7 verses last Wednesday, and now we will look into the rest of the psalm. David cries out saying, restore me, verses 8 to 12. Psalm 51, verses 8 to 12. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Now David's sins had affected his whole person. His sins had affected his eyes. In Psalm 51 verse 3 we read, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. His sins had affected his mind. The thoughts of sin had consumed his heart. You see, what goes into our eyes gets to our mind and gets to our heart. Psalm 51 verse 6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. His sins had affected his ears and his bones. Psalm 51 verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Remember that David was not only a soldier, but he was also a singer. So he would come back from the battlefield, put down his sword, and he'll pick up his harp. He played the harp and he sang praise to God. He listened to the choirs in God's house as they sang praises to him. David's ears were open to the music of heaven. But not in this psalm. Not in this psalm. David heard sorrow and sadness. The choir was off key. Everything he heard was wrong. Now, we too have days like that, don't we? When we are not right on the inside, nothing is going to be right on the outside. Good news will be bad news, and bad news will be worse news. No wonder we find David praying in Psalm 51 verse 7, purge me with hyssop,
and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
If your ears have not been hearing joy and gladness, perhaps the problem is not around you, but within you. David's sins had affected his body. Psalm 32 verse 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Psalm 38 verse 8. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. His sins had affected his heart and his spirit. Psalm 51 verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The guilt of unconfessed sin haunted David for a year while he tried to hide his sin. David was guilty of adultery, deception, and murder. So now he cries out in Psalm 51 verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. His tongue, his mouth and lips were affected by his sins. Psalm 51 verse 15. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You see, the cost of sin and its consequences is very high. And David knew this. So he asked for more than cleansing. He asked God for more than cleansing. He wanted his entire being to be restored so he could serve the Lord acceptably. He wanted the joy of the Lord within him. Psalm 51 verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. He wanted the face of the Lord smiling. He wanted the face of the Lord smiling upon him. He did not want God to hide his face from him. Psalm 88 verse 14. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Psalm 104 verse 29. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Psalm 51 verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Joy and gladness. Let me hear joy and gladness. Now, joy and gladness is a Hebrew phrase meaning deep joy from within. Unconfessed sin leaves you with a dirty heart. And when your heart is not right, you don't hear joy and gladness. When your heart is not right, you can't hear joy and gladness. You can't hear the music of God. So confess your sin to the Lord and He will forgive you and restore you. Jesus shed His blood on the cross to forgive you and cleanse you. That's why He died on the cross. He died to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David asked the Lord to create a new heart within him and to give him a steadfast spirit that would not waver. Verse 10 in Psalm 51, that's the central verse of the psalm, and it expresses the heart of David's concern. The heart of the problem is always the problem of the heart. Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew that the inner person, the heart, was the source of his trouble as well as the seat of his joy and blessing. David also knew that he was incapable of changing his own heart. He could never do that. This verse was David's prayer as he confessed his sins to the Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sin defiles the heart. Now you may say, well, no one can see that. But that's exactly what God sees. No one can see your heart, but God sees your heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now David didn't look any different after he had sinned. But when your heart is defiled, everything is defiled. David's son Solomon wrote later on, in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now suppose you open a tap at home and out comes dirty water. And then you go to the hardware shop and you buy a brand new tap and then you install it and then you turn it on. Again, out comes dirty water. Obviously, the problem is not with the tap, but the problem is the water source. So it is with us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." God has promised a new heart for all those who turn to Him. Only God can work this miracle. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. "I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart." Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart." God is speaking. "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." The Lord gave the Holy Spirit to David when Samuel anointed him. Samuel the prophet anoints David and the Holy Spirit comes upon David. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." David did not want to lose the blessing and the help of the Holy Spirit. He knew what had happened when Saul had sinned. When King Saul had sinned, David knew what had happened. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons.'" 1 Samuel 16 verse 14. "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him." 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 15. "But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you." So now David cries out, Psalm 51 verse 11, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Now today, the Holy Spirit abides with believers forever. God does not remove his Spirit from believers in Christ. John chapter 14 verses 15 to 18. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." But God's children can lose the effective ministry of the Holy Spirit by grieving the Holy Spirit. So today the Holy Spirit abides with believers forever. God does not remove his Spirit from believers. But God's children, believers in Christ, we can lose the effective ministry of the Holy Spirit by grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 30 to 32. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." God has sealed every believer in Christ with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit living in us is the guarantee of our future inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 to 14. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him,
were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The effective ministry of the Holy Spirit through the life of a believer can be badly affected when we grieve the Holy Spirit by lying to Him. And this is what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, as we read in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 verses 1 to 3. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? The effective ministry of the Holy Spirit is quenched by deliberate disobedience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. When we sin against the Lord, we lose that closeness of the Holy Spirit, the source of our blessing. Everything in the Christian life depends on our fellowship with the Lord. David constantly depended on God's presence. Whether he was writing a psalm or whether he was leading an army, David constantly depended on God's presence. Therefore, he was anguished about losing the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, fellowship is the New Testament word for the presence of the Lord, the manifest presence of the Lord. We enjoy fellowship with God. We enjoy His manifest presence because we are born again and He has come to dwell in us by His Spirit. When we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, we can enjoy communion and fellowship with God. Now, sonship and fellowship are two different things. Sonship comes from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we are born again, we are born into the family of God. Fellowship is the result of our faithfulness to God. We keep our lives clean. We obey Him. We talk to Him in prayer. And God talks to us in His Word. So don't lose this fellowship with God by sinning. Fellowship with God is conditional. If we have sin in our lives, we cannot have fellowship with God. So take care to walk with the Lord daily. If you're not careful, the enemy will gain a foothold in your life. So avoid sin, flee from sin, obey the Word of God, and maintain a prayer time with Him. Commune with Him, talk to Him, listen to Him. Make walking with the Lord a priority in your life. Let that come as number one priority in your life. Everything else secondary. Make walking with the Lord the number one priority in your life. Not your work, not anything else that you do. Walking with the Lord, number one priority, because everything else must spring from that intimacy with God. Psalm 51 verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Now this phrase, willing spirit, in verse 12 refers to David's own spirit, just like in verse 10. Psalm 51 verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David's sin had weakened his own spirit. Now all of us want an enthusiastic, steadfast spirit. But David was wavering. Every time he saw someone, he would have been wondering, what does he know about me? Whenever people were talking together in a corner, David wondered, are they talking about me? You see, he had a dirty conscience because of sin and a vacillating spirit. God alone can create a new heart. And God can create a new heart and give us a steadfast spirit. But how does that happen? Not by our excuses, but by our confession. We are so prone to excuse our sin. Instead, what did David do? David confessed his sin. And God forgave him. Yes. David had to pay dearly for his sin. He suffered the discipline of God. But God cleansed his heart, strengthened his spirit, and created something new within. Now ask yourself, what is my heart condition? What is my heart condition? Is it clean or is it dirty? Unconfessed sin in the heart defiles the whole body. So make sure there is no unconfessed sin. Never hold on to sin or cover it up. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, confess it immediately. When you do so, God will cleanse and restore you by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, a willing spirit is one that is not in bondage to sin, but is free, yielded to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God ministers to and through the spirit of the believer. Romans chapter 8 verses 14 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It is not enough simply to confess sin and experience God's cleansing. We must also let God renew us within so that we will conquer sin and not succumb to temptation. The Lord did forgive David, but permitted him to suffer the tragic consequences of his sins. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 13 to 14. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die. Next, we see David crying out to God. He's asking God. He's saying, use me. Verses 13 to 19, that's what he's saying. He's telling God, use me. Psalm 51 verses 13 to 19. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. David was God's servant and he wanted to regain his ministry and lead his people. He especially wanted to make careful preparations for the building of the temple. It's interesting that Solomon, the child eventually born to Bathsheba, was chosen to be David's successor and the one to supervise the temple construction. That's why in the scriptures you find this beautiful verse, Romans chapter 5 verse 20, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The Lord restores us. The Lord restores us. He uses us. David wanted to witness to the lost and wandering people and bring them back to the Lord. Psalm 51 verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. David wanted to sing the Lord's praises. How beautiful. He wanted to proclaim God's word. He wanted to sing God's praises. Psalm 51 verses 14 to 15. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. He speaks about blood guiltiness. Blood guiltiness. This refers to Uriah's blood. Uriah's blood on David's hands, because it was David who ordered Uriah's death. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 14 to 24. I read to you 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 14 to 24. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter, he wrote, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting and then draw back from him that he may be struck down and die." And as Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab. And some of the servants of David among the people fell. Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent and told David all the news about the fighting. And he instructed the messenger, "When you have finished telling all the news about the fighting to the king, then if the king's anger rises, and if he says to you, 'Why did you go so near the city to fight? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, the son of Jerubbesheth? Did not a woman cast an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died at Thebes? Why did you go so near the wall?' Then you shall say, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.'" So the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent him to tell. The messenger said to David, "The men gained an advantage over us and came out against us in the field, but we drove them back to the entrance of the gate. Then the archers shot at your servants from the wall. Some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." So David had planned the murder. He had planned the murder of Uriah after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. David was a wealthy enough person to bring many sacrifices to the Lord, but he knew that none of those sacrifices would please the Lord because he had not confessed his sins. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." The blood of these animals could not wash away David's sins. David wasn't denying the importance or the validity of the Jewish sacrificial system. He was just affirming the importance of a repentant heart and a spirit that is yielded to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15. "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." God could not receive broken animals as sacrifices. The Old Testament very clearly teaches God will not receive broken animals as sacrifices. Malachi chapter 1 verses 6 to 8. "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests who despise my name, but you say, 'How have you despised your name?' By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, 'How have we polluted you?' By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts." So God will not receive broken animals as sacrifices. But God would receive a broken heart. And David knew that. Psalm 51 verses 16 to 17. "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." As the anointed king of Israel, David was also burdened for the welfare of Jerusalem and the kingdom. And he knew that his sins had weakened Israel's position among the nations. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 14. "Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." When as believers we sin, we profane the name of the Lord among unbelievers. As king of Israel, David had profaned the name of the Lord among the surrounding nations. In Nehemiah chapter 5 verse 9 we read, "So I said, the thing that you are doing is not good. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God to prevent the taunts of the nations, our enemies?" In the book of Romans chapter 2 verse 24 we read, Romans 2:24, "For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." When we obey the Lord and His commands, we lift up His name. And this gives opportunity for unbelievers to come to know Jesus. But when we sin in disobedience and rebellion, then we are profaning the name of Christ. David destroyed much good when he sinned. But he also did much good during his lifetime, and he served the Lord faithfully the rest of his life after he was restored. So let us make sure that we humbly walk with God and obey God wholeheartedly. Micah chapter 6 verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Now, we can live to please ourselves, we can live to please other people, but as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what should we choose? We should choose to live to please the Lord. David closes his prayer of confession in Psalm 51 verse 19. "Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness." Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. Everything we do should please the Lord. A.W. Tozer used to say, "God is not hard to get along with. God is not hard to get along with." And that is true. That is true. One day, David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 14, "Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man." David knew that God was merciful. God was kind. God will forgive. God will restore. And God will use him again. You see, God knows us. He loves us. He knows every bit of our failures. And He's patient with us. He knows our sin. Everything He plans for us is for our good. Everything He plans for us is for our enjoyment and His glory. So what pleases Him the most? An obedient walk. An obedient walk. That is what pleases Him the most. Not sacrifices. David says, "If I brought sacrifices without repentance, you would not accept them. But if I repent and bring you a broken and a contrite heart, then you will accept my sacrifice and service." It's interesting how David ends this psalm. It's interesting to see how David ends the psalm. Psalm 51 verse 18. "Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem." You see, David in his sin had been tearing down, not building up. By his sin, he had given opportunity to the enemies of Israel to blaspheme God. The word got around. People got to know. Soon everyone knew what David had done. So he says, "Oh God, when I was sinning, I was tearing down. I was not pleasing to you. Now I want you to use me because I want to please you. And because I am pleasing you, I will be building up, not tearing down. And the walls of Jerusalem, walls of protection, will be strong." Ask yourself this question. Am I building up or tearing down? God's plans for us are always for good. God plans everything for your good, for your enjoyment, and for His glory. As His child, strive to please and honor Him in all that you do. Is your walk with God a walk of obedience? Ask yourself. Make your life the kind that pleases God. Let us pray.